You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program, already in progress. Hour two on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. The ongoing saga of Ben Simmons. He's coming back reporting to the 76ers. What went wrong? Probably realized, wait, I'm losing how much money by holding out? And nobody wants to trade for me? We'll check in with the 76ers coming up. Justin Herbert of my Chargers will join us a little bit later on as well. If you missed Mike Florio in the first hour of the show, you missed any of our interviews, you can go to danpatrick.com. Mike had a lot of things to say, a lot of sharp, smart things to say about what happened with John Gruden. The Raiders, feels like the Raiders move on. They move on from John Gruden. They move on from this controversy. But as far as what's next for the Raiders, how do they respond? They're 3-2. They just lost to the Bears. And John Gruden will probably be done as far as a head coach anytime soon, maybe as an analyst. But we know what happens. These situations where you go, he'll never get another job. I don't know if he will or not. But it feels like almost everybody gets that next chance there. But what John said, he deserved to be fired. I'm surprised that the Raiders didn't fire him with what he said about Demoris Smith. And the other emails that came out, are there other emails? Is this enough for those emails not to come out? Any more emails that might be attached to John Gruden? I'm not sure. I am curious how these emails made it to the light of the public. And, that's something that the NFL should be investigating. You're doing an investigation on the Washington football team while this information comes out. Whoever's doing that investigating, if I'm the commissioner, do I really want to know who leaked this information? Because that is part of this story here. This was about the Washington football team. 650,000 emails that they're combing through. And the only thing that we've heard about has to do with John Gruden. John's collateral damage here. He deserved to be fired. But I also have to criticize the process here. Are you trying to protect Daniel Snyder, one of your own, the NFL, and Roger Goodell is governed by these owners? It opens up that question. And I don't know who's going to have an answer to this. But what John Gruden said when he said it, it's a fireable offense. But the NFL with this process, with Daniel Snyder, are you trying to tell me that 650,000 emails and there's nothing that is harmful that indicts Daniel Snyder in the Washington football team? I find that hard to believe. And from what I was told last night by a source involved in this, there's a lot of nervous people on that email trail with John Gruden because they might have to answer to some questions with their roles in their, in their positions. Let's put it that way without getting too specific. Yes, McLovin.
Wouldn't you have to imagine other owners emailed Daniel Snyder too, and their emails could be involved? And even if they're not damning like these, they could be embarrassing.
I'm guessing that there are people who said things about people because that probably happens. You don't think it's going to see, the light of day. I'm sure John Gruden didn't send these going, man, I wonder if anybody's ever going to see these. He didn't. And those on the other end certainly seemed like they were comfortable with what John was saying. Nobody said, John, you shouldn't say that. I don't think it's over. And I know Gruden, he deserved to get fired. But I do want to know about the process here. Because if you're telling me you combed through a decade of emails and there is nothing in there that involves Dan Snyder as the owner of the Redskins or the Washington football team, I have a real problem with that investigation. But somebody is leaking this information about John Gruden. It just felt like a real hatchet job. And it felt like, and what I was told last night, this was a slow play by the NFL that they wanted John Gruden out. And I was told last night, the NFL just gave a gift to Mark Davis to be able to fire John Gruden. So John makes his first statement, and then they drop the second bomb with these other email. Why do they want John Gruden out? Somebody had it out for him. And that's how it got to the media. It was leaked. And then he stepped down last night. Stepped down before he was fired. Yeah, Paulie.
That's what I'm thinking here. There could be lots more emails that implicate a lot more people in the league. So I think Seton said this earlier, and Florio said it. Maybe they have enemies in the league office. Maybe they've been critical of the league, and one staffer wanted to make a name for himself. Said, "I'll take care of this for the boss." It could be that simple with the media. You hand it over to the media.
Yeah, but I want to hear from the commissioner today.
You're never going to hear them.
No, but I want to hear from the commissioner to say, how did this happen? Like, are you upset that somebody in your office is leaking this information?
If I'm him, are you talking today? No, he's not.
But I would want to hear from him. Like, I find it disturbing. Once again, John Gruden deserved to get fired. You're trying to tell me that 3 or 4, 5 or 6 email, that's all you found? Or you decided to focus on, or somebody leaked this? I'm just surprised at that. Yeah, Seton.
And it feels like the commissioner should talk, because, I mean, he was, you know, named in those emails by name. The person fired is talking about him.
Yeah.
And how this, you know, this is happening in organizations in your league. He's named by it. Who would be leaking this then? Is this done by the league office?
I would just want to ask him, commissioner, how concerned are you that this happened in your investigation? That's all. And this isn't to try to give an excuse for John Gruden. And please don't read into that. I'm bothered by the investigation. If nothing happens with the Washington football team, I just can't imagine that nothing makes sense and that the Washington football team did nothing. We know they've done things. They've been charged with things, accused of things, fined for things. Yeah, Paul.
I've been calling Daniel Snyder Kaiser Soze for a year. He shakes off every accusation. Every year, every other year, it seems like, well, Daniel Snyder's done. That's it. It's his last year. He's going to sell the team. He outlasts everybody. I don't know what his strategy is, but one of the things he doesn't do is talk. You never see him interviewed.
No, but I would hope that the commissioner has something to say, like at least a statement here. Like, is the investigation ongoing? You found nothing on the Washington football team, but you found this on John Gruden. And I don't know if John Gruden can sue. But, boy, if you do, I wonder what you're privy to. McLevin, as a former paralegal,
yes.
If John Gruden would sue, I don't know what the settlement is with the Raiders. But if he resigns, I'm guessing he's not suing. But if he fought this, is he privy to all these emails? Like, he can have...
Oh, sure.
Right?
I think, like Discovery. Isn't it called Discovery?
Exactly. Yeah.
What I didn't understand as a paralegal, we had these big privilege logs where emails that weren't relevant to the case were pulled to the side. So I'm curious why these were relevant to the case. It must have been because they were to Bruce Allen.
Yeah, but it feels like somebody stumbled upon something and then, and then they leaked that information. The Wall Street Journal and New York Times.
And as you pointed out today, I think most people forget that John's brother was the coach of the team. Because that was a while ago.
Yes.
Now.
And if they're sending naked pictures of the Washington cheerleaders here, and his brother is on the other end with the Washington football team, I don't know. Just feels like there's a little bit more to this so-called investigation. Sunday Night Football, it'll be the Seahawks heading to Pittsburgh to battle T.J. Watt and the Steelers. That'll be Sunday, 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. All right, your phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. I think it's going to be hard for Lamar Jackson to win another MVP 2 seasons after he won his first one. But he is in the top 8 in both passing yards and rushing yards. But last night, what you saw, he might just have a chance. He threw for a career best 442, come from behind overtime win, ran for 62, and they trailed late in the fourth quarter, got a little luck. Colts had kicking problems, but no surprise, the nightmare week for kickers around the league. Is there any excuse for this? You know, I watched the Cincinnati-Green Bay game, and the winds were, altering the kicks. But is this just a coincidence? This is one of the worst weeks kickers have ever had in the history of the game. I got some questions about Indy's defense. Coming into the season, everybody was worried about the Ravens losing all their running backs to injuries. But Jackson has put the team on his back and proven he can single-handedly win even in the toughest of circumstances. And that's how you win an MVP. If you think about how much do they put on Lamar Jackson? Do they put more on his shoulders than any other quarterback in the league? I mean, Kyler Murray to a certain extent, but we know Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Lamar Jackson doesn't really have, you know, Andrews and Hollywood Brown. It feels like Hollywood Brown is either really, really good or dropping balls. Mark Andrews, it felt like everybody knew that's who Lamar was going to and they still couldn't stop him. But that was one of those where you go, I don't know if this is more about the Ravens or the Colts, because I thought the Colts, they were a playoff team for sure and maybe had bigger hopes than that. But watching them, just don't get it. Yeah, McLovin.
Colts aren't done.
Though. No.
Because they have that division, you know, the Jags and the Texans.
Yeah. Do you want to change the poll question for the second hour?
Yeah, so I did put it up. If the Colts fall out of playoff contention, should they bench Carson Wentz to preserve their first-round pick? 71% say yes.
I guess if you do it and it's a healthy scratch, like it's tricky if you're going to do it and when you do it because you want to keep your first-round draft pick. Because if not, if he's playing over 75% of the snaps, which right now he's playing 99 or 98% of the snaps, you're going to have to give the Eagles your first-round draft pick.
But as you said before the show, that might not be a problem, knowing Carson Wentz's injury history.
Yeah. Let's see how healthy he's able to stay. But Lamar Jackson ranks in the top eight in both passing and rushing yards this year. Fifth in passing yards. He is eighth in rushing yards so far this year. Some phone calls here, then we'll take a break, and then we'll dive into what's going on with the Philadelphia 76ers. Once again, we did spend a lot of time talking about John Gruden first hour, and if you want to hear what Mike Florio had to say, go to danpatrick.com. If there is something new to add, we did find out that John Gruden's son, 27-year-old Deuce Gruden, is going to stay on the staff with the Raiders. Adam Schefter had that this morning. But aside from that, I'm just waiting to find out, does this get any bigger? Does this get any worse? There are more emails that they're going to... I'm told that there were probably six emails that they uncovered that had incriminating evidence with John Gruden. I don't know if those are all combined in these reports, but my source telling me last night that there's other people involved in this. The question is, how far does the NFL let this go? Let's see. Marco in Arizona. Hey, Marco, what do you have for me?
Hey, good morning, DP. I just want to thank you guys for going in hard in the paint there with the Washington football team. That guy's basically the Harvey Weinstein of the NFL. And, man, I'm worried about Lamar Jackson. I'm getting Robert Griffin Jr. III flashbacks. I'm very worried about this young man.
Well, I do think he's a smarter runner than RG3, but I do worry about it because usually the guy who's running the football is the last guy to realize that the other guys are catching up with you, because you're like, hey, I'm running all over the field. It's like I'm playing in the backyard with my neighbors. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, where did he come from? RG3 was, you know, most times the fastest guy on the field. He just wasn't smart when he ran with the football. And they're going to catch you. You know, Josh Allen, they're going to catch you. Kyler Murray, they're going to catch you eventually. But that's why you see, you know, Lamar Jackson being a pocket passer. Can he be? Can Kyler Murray beat you from the pocket? These are all things that will happen and have to happen as you take that next step. You know, as great as Michael Vick was, Michael Vick knew that he still had to beat you from the pocket as well. Yeah, Paulie.
You know what's interesting about watching Lamar Jackson last night when he runs? The defensive backs and linebackers sometimes don't know what to do. He starts to run out of bounds, then he cuts up. Mm-hmm. When most drop-back quarterbacks just keep running out, or Russell Wilson would run out, or when you think he's going to slide, he cuts back upfield. They're in kind of no man's land with hitting him.
We'll come back. Is Ben Simmons there to stay in Philadelphia? Or is it just, hey, I'm here for a couple of weeks so I don't get fined a couple $100,000? That's next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card at the end of your first year automatically, which is amazing. And no limit on how much you can earn, which is even more amazing. In fact, even more amazing than that is all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert will join us in an hour from now. Recap what happened last night, yesterday in baseball, and what could happen today and tonight. Three playoff games, including the Dodgers on the brink against the Giants. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. McLovin, what's the poll question we're going with?
Okay, right now we have, if you're the Colts, would you bench Carson Wentz at the end of the season? I do have an NBA poll question,
oh,
but it's for me.
Oh, okay.
Are the Sixers going to be any better than last year when they lost in the second round to the Atlanta Hawks?
Well, but I don't know what's going to happen with Ben Simmons.
I'm assuming he's coming back. What if they run back the same team?
You think Ben is back and like truly back for the season?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't.
Well, last night him reporting signaled to me that they can't trade him.
Well, let me bring in Marcus Hayes. He covers this. This is his job, Philadelphia Inquirer columnist. And Marcus, I saw the headline, not that you wrote the headline. Ben Simmons comes crawling back to the Sixers to save money, if not face. All right, where are we in this situation with Ben Simmons and the 76ers?
Actually, I did write that headline. I didn't know it would stand, but it passed muster, I guess. I think we're in a spot where the Sixers have a guy they would like to trade, but they would like to get value for him. And I think the only way that happens is if Ben Simmons actually plays games, like McLovin said, and proves that, okay, maybe I'm a little bit better player. I will be invested. I will be professional. Because the worst thing he could do, he did. He said, not only will I not play hard for you and take risks on the court, I will not be accountable for it afterward. And at the first whiff of controversy, I'm going to take my ball and go home. That I think Rich Paul and Clutch Sports and Ben Simmons understand now that he has to rebuild his image and prove that he's worth something, because the Sixers right now probably couldn't get very much for him at all. Because what happens if he does the same thing next year for another team and they're in the same situation?
How much of this is just, hey, I'm losing a lot of money and this holdout is not working?
I'd say if there were more than 100%, it would be more than 100%. This is all about – I mean, you have to realize who Ben Simmons is. He came to LSU because the NBA required you at that point to go to LSU. There weren't avenues that exist now to avoid 1 year of college, played indifferently, didn't go to class, and told everyone, I'm just here so I don't get fined, like Marshawn Lynch, you know? So – he took that year, he wasted that year of his teammates' time, his coach's time, LSU scholarship money, so he could get to the point where he could make more money. He knew he was talented. He knew he was going to be the number one overall pick. I said all that to say, Ben Simmons only cares about money. That's it. He wants to make as much money as quickly as possible. He doesn't care who for. He doesn't care if he wins. He doesn't care, you know, how he makes it. He just wants to make that money, be famous, be photographed at Wimbledon, and be Ben Simmons. And it's kind of an indication of who we are in our time.
But it just doesn't work in that city. I mean, there are other cities where it can work.
Right.
It doesn't work there. I just can't imagine what the local reaction is going to be that first game. And like he misses a free throw or he won't take a three here. I mean, that's a tough audience, man. Tough audience, Marcus.
There's nowhere like it for all four sports. That's the thing. Like, there's nothing like the intensity and passion in Philadelphia for all four sports in any town, except maybe Boston. Boston's rough, too. You know, he would have a hard time selling this in Boston. But, I mean, you know that there were times when the Patriots could get away with anything. So, yeah, it'll be ugly, but it also depends on how he comports himself over the next couple of weeks. If he's recalcitrant, if he's humble, if he is accessible, if he asks for forgiveness, nobody forgives like Philadelphia, especially if you're going to be in their town. If you're going to be one of them, then Philadelphia will take you back and worship you, maybe more so than if you'd succeeded. I mean, if Ben Simmons says, you know what, you guys were right, I was wrong, I'm going to take threes, I'm going to help win, I'll play power forward if I have to, and they win, he'll be as popular as Nick Foles.
But is he capable of doing that?
I don't know. I mean, that he's just been such a weird kid. I remember he was incredibly impressive at the pre-draft media availability. He made sure that he was the last person to show up at the hotel in New York the year he was drafted, to show up in the ballroom. He came with an entourage. He dressed like a businessman. He acted like a businessman. It was almost as if he was a movie character. I believe that that's how he lives his life. Like he's in a movie, like it's not real, like there's really no accountability and that he can do no wrong because he's writing the script. So I don't know if his script will ever include any sort of mea culpa stuff.
What is his value around the league? Is that what this comes down to, that their teams, the rest of the league doesn't value him the way the Sixers think they should value him?
Well, you have to understand the Sixers' perspective as it pertains to Joel Embiid's window. If you think that Joel Embiid can win for the next 3 to 5 years before his body collapses because he gets hurt all the time, mm-hmm. if that's his window, you have to complement him with players who are going to help win in that window, because that's going to be it for a long time. There might not be a player in the second tier of players who can help them win the way Ben Simmons can win right now, even if you moved him to power forward, which is his natural position anyway. You know, he's more Draymond Green than he is Chris Paul. So all that said, the Sixers believe they have to get a solid second piece that could be a first piece, because Joel Embiid gets hurt all the time, to replace Ben Simmons. And they can't afford to taking anything less would be forfeiting this window. So, yes, they overvalue Ben Simmons because of the way they frame it is, how can we win in this window with Joel Embiid?
He's Marcus Hayes, the Philadelphia Inquirer columnist. We're talking about Ben Simmons reporting back to the Philadelphia 76ers. I've mentioned this a couple of times, and maybe this has to do with their backgrounds. Giannis comes over here. He's not pampered. He is an unknown. He fights for everything. And he's not afraid of failure, Marcus. Like, he'll go to the line, and his free throw shooting is worse than mine. His three-point shooting is worse than mine. But he never stops. He still keeps playing. Ben has a fear of failure, being embarrassed, where Giannis doesn't. And to me, that's a big difference in Giannis is never going to stop. He's always trying. He plays hard. And Ben, it feels like he goes, oh, you know, I've been pampered. I don't want to be embarrassed here. I don't want to be on social media here. Whereas Giannis doesn't give a damn about that.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. The background is everything. Ben reminds me a lot of a Kobe Bryant without the heart. He was, you know, he's an international, sophisticated, great-looking, well-presented, smart guy who was raised by a professional, international professional basketball player in the lap of luxury with a lot of fame. The difference between Kobe and Ben is Ben thinks that he's arrived. Kobe wanted to be Mike. Giannis wants to be the best player he can be. I can't tell you the depth of my admiration for Giannis, watching him warm up, watching his pregame routine, watching him airball threes and free throws. You know, he's going to take them in the game and he's going to airball them in the game. Yeah. But for Giannis, it's the next step. It's the next play. It's how can I win? For Ben Simmons, it's all about style. It's all about how do I look? It's all about doing it my way, because one guy's spoiled and one guy isn't.
If I ask Doc Rivers and ask him for an honest answer, do you want Ben Simmons back? What do you think Doc says?
Absolutely. I mean, he would love to have Ben Simmons in any iteration because it helps win regular season games. And Doc's a brilliant coach. I think that he thinks he can win despite Ben Simmons' deficiencies, which might mean moving Ben Simmons off the point again. You remember the Philadelphia 76ers did that against the Toronto Raptors and put Jimmy Butler at the point, and it worked because Ben Simmons is a gifted power forward. He's a Hall of Fame power forward. You know, you can call him an all-star point guard, but he's not. You know, he's not one of the top, 10 point guards in the league as you define true point guards. So that said, I don't know, maybe not the top 10, maybe not the top 6 or 7. But the point is, Doc Rivers believes he can win with Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons is really good. He's an elite perimeter defender. He's an excellent rebounder. He could be even better rebounder, as Joel Embiid mentioned. And he runs the fast break almost as well as anybody in the NBA, in part because it only takes him three steps to get from free throw line to free throw line. So, yeah, Doc Rivers would love to have Ben Simmons back. And imagine if Doc Rivers is the coach that wins with Ben Simmons and breaks through with Ben Simmons. I mean, Doc Rivers is probably a Hall of Fame coach already. This would be, you know, the cherry on top for his career.
Would you rather have Ben or Kyrie?
You know, we had that conversation a lot here in the last week. If Ben is on your team and shows up, he's probably more valuable than Kyrie because you don't know if Kyrie's not going to show up. And you don't know how hard he's going to play. And you don't know how hurt he's going to play. So Kyrie is the ultimate wild card. I mean, I contended when Kyrie was in Cleveland, LeBron James might have been the second best player on that team. You know, the second most skilled player offensively anyway on that team. Kyrie Irving is a special, special entity, but he's special in other ways too.
Kyrie is Kanye West. Like there's brilliance, but there's unpredictability and crazy and calculated at the same time.
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure they calculate as much as we – I think they recover sometimes, okay. And we allow them to recover. But, you know, they are so narcissistic. The world revolves around them to such a degree that they completely lack perspective. The same thing is true of Ben to a degree and Carson Wentz here in Philadelphia. You know, the utter lack of self-awareness and humility among those four people is astonishing. But again, it might be a sign of the times we live in where social media can make you a star if you're just, you know, clever with 240 characters.
Great insight. Really appreciate your time, Marcus. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be following. We'll be following those headlines you're writing.
But thanks for having me, Dan. Thanks, guys.
That's Marcus Hayes, Philadelphia Inquirer columnist. Well, that was a great appearance there. Some great insight there. And he's right about Ben, and I've said it before with Giannis. Giannis came over here as an unknown. And, you know, a mid-first-round pick, started out slow, but you could see incrementally he wanted to be better. He wanted to be great. Ben Simmons arrived and thought he was great. And then all of a sudden he realizes he's not great and you haven't put in the work ethic. Like Kobe started out, and Kobe wasn't a number one pick, but Kobe wanted to be Michael Jordan. It's not like, hey, I just want to be a star. It's I want to be the best of all time. It feels like Ben is like, hey, social media, look what I'm doing. Hey, look what I'm driving. Look what I'm wearing. Look at who I'm dating. And having kids who are around the same age, I know what they're attracted to or what they're following. You know, when they look at social media, what stands out to them? Aside from my youngest who constantly sends me cat videos. But, you know, for the most part, hey, I'm a star. Hey, look how many likes I have. Instead of putting in the effort, I don't need to see another video of Ben Simmons in the offseason showing me that he can hit threes against guys from the local YMCA. I just don't. How about you show me you can do that in the postseason, that you're not afraid? Giannis is not afraid. And imagine that. He can't shoot. He can't. But he still wants to try to get better. And then, you know, when we looked at what happened in the NBA Finals last year, and I said, just put him on the blocks. Nobody can guard him down there. He's going to get you in foul trouble. He's going to score, and, you know, he might make some free throws. And I love the kid. I really do. I think his personality is magnanimous. I think he has that – it's more of a small-town feel to him, and he's perfect for Milwaukee. Like, it's just – he's like Tim Duncan. You know, Tim Duncan just fits San Antonio. And he just wanted to continue to be great without saying, hey, I want to be the great. Hey, notice me. Giannis is just, he's a wonderful kid. I shouldn't say, he's a wonderful man. And to watch what he does and how he does it, Ben Simmons should, that should be, if I'm Doc Rivers, I just say, watch Giannis. Watch how he handles all of this, how he's not afraid. Because Ben doesn't want to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to be embarrassed. But sometimes you get embarrassed while getting better. And Ben has to understand that. Lonzo Ball. I would cringe when I would watch him play. Because I would go, oh my God, that's an 18-footer, and he's afraid to take it. And the defense knew that. To be a professional basketball player, and you're watching, and I felt bad for him. But you know what? He's made something of himself as a shooter. I mean, he shoots 78% from the line. He can shoot. He had to kind of get his stroke changed a little bit. It was too long. You know, he needed to have it more like Kevin Durant. If you're going to start it on the left side, don't start it too far on the left side, like it's a windshield wiper. But he has a great feel for the game. And it'd be a shame if he was not a star player because he understands the game. Ben knows it. It's just Ben doesn't want to listen to anybody else. And all of a sudden you're going to hold out, and then you realize I'm losing a lot of money. I just can't imagine opening night. Edit guard, number 25, out of LSU. Ben Simmons, and everybody's giving a standing ovation. Now, they might start out that way, but it might be 50-50 there. And that's a tough crowd when you've already said, hey, I don't want to come back here. McLovin, how do you think the Sixers fans will react when they introduce Ben Simmons opening night?
I think they'll boo. I mean, they love booing their own guys in the best of circumstances.
What if I bring him off the bench instead?
Boo. What do you think about Marcus Hayes moving him to power forward?
Yes.
He doesn't want to go there.
I know he doesn't. But at some point you say this is where you have a chance that we can hide you of sorts. Nobody goes, boy, Draymond Green hasn't taken any shots. I mean, Draymond Green plays defense. He rebounds. He's an agitator. He can get to the hoop. He's a better shooter than Ben. But that's why I thought if he went to Golden State, even if he went to the Nets, like let him go and blend in instead of he wants to be the focal point, but he doesn't have, you know, the fortitude to be the guy when it doesn't go well. I mean, we all want to perform at a high level and don't want to be embarrassed. But when it happens, now how do you react to that? And he takes his ball and wants to go home. Yeah, Paul.
Do you think that Simmons, after hearing Marcus Hayes, he said he wants to be a star so bad more than anything, made a play to get to one of the LA teams, Clippers or Lakers, Rich Paul? It would make sense. Maybe. And there was no takers.
Well, depends on what they were asking for. Because I know, I said, you're not getting Dame Lillard. Like people go, well, I'm trading for Dame Lillard. If you're Portland and you trade Dame Lillard, like CJ McCollum, okay, but not Dame Lillard. I want Dame Lillard on my team. I would never want to be the GM who goes, yeah, I traded Dame Lillard. You did! Yeah, McLovin.
Here's my biggest problem. The Sixers are the worst fit. They need clutch perimeter scoring. They don't need another defensive guy because they don't have no complement to Embiid. So the Nets need Ben Simmons and the Sixers need Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, but I don't want Kyrie Irving.
Too much to bring in?
Yeah, because he's not going to be able to play home games. He's not going to play against the Knicks. He can't go to Toronto. Like, nobody's factored that in.
It's an aggressive form of load management.
Yes. Like, he's going to miss 50. Like, how many games is he going to have in Toronto? And then you have the Knicks. Like, if you just look at places where he can't go. Like, nobody's factored in. He can't go to Toronto. They're not letting him in. Yes, Todd.
I just can't imagine how, like, for all the games at the Barclays Center, you want to wear your Kyrie Irving jersey, and the only way to go see him is if you travel to some other city around the country to root him on. It's insane.
Yeah, I know. It is wild. I don't want him. But he's another guy that, he thinks the world revolves around him. Does the world revolve in his world because it's flat? So I don't know if the world revolves around Kyrie. Yes, McLovin.
What if could you see him getting the vaccine and not telling anyone and just showing up or doing something unexpected?
Because but he has to tell you because then you would go, how's he able to play at home?
There are reports that he was considering taking it. I don't know how verified they were.
Well, but I would like to know how good of friends he is with Kevin Durant. Because that's where if you're Kevin Durant and you go, dude, come on. You know, I came here and I joined you. Are we in it together or not? Money usually talks. And maybe Kyrie has enough and doesn't care. Ben Simmons showed up because of money. That's it. Take a break. Phone calls coming up. Looking forward to Justin Herbert of the Chargers next hour. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw this comment from the logo Jerry West. He was on Terrell Owens' podcast with Matthew Hatchett called Get Your Popcorn Ready. And the Clippers consultant had this to say about Luka Doncic.
Luka Doncic. Mm-hmm. What was he, the fifth player in the draft?
Right.
Oh, my God.
And look at him.
I can't believe that someone let him go. Mm-hmm. I can't. Right. He was a unique kid at 15 years of age.
Not alone.
He was competing against me.
How are we doing? Did I turn off my microphone, Seton?
No, it's on.
My headphones?
Yeah, no, your mic is on.
Technical difficulties here.
You want me to play that clip
check,
again?
Check, check. Am I good?
You're good,
I can't hear myself. So I hope I sound great.
Buttery.
Can't hear myself in my headphones. But Jerry West talking about Luka Doncic and all these teams that passed on him. And, you know, the owner of the Phoenix Suns passed on him because he wanted reportedly to have DeAndre Ayton, a local star at the University of Arizona. But, you know, I think that was the surprising part of this is Luka's coach, when he was playing in Europe as a 15-year-old playing against, you know, these men and dominating, you would have thought that that would have factored in enough. But Robert Sarver wanted to have the yes, Seton.
Sorry, I'm giving you a hand signal so somebody can run in new headphones.
Yell in here, because I still can't hear myself through my headphones.
Okay, but well, we've got
Paulie.
Paul's going to run in.
He had something to say. I don't know if it's my headphones that are bad. I think that it might be.
Can you do a back rub on here?
Yeah, if you could. See, this is how you win a sports Emmy. Check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't think I can hear myself there either.
Hmm.
Check, check, check. 1, 2, 3. This has never happened before.
You sound great, which is important.
I know. But, now here comes my cameraman, Weeks. This isn't going to go well. There you go. If you're watching on Peacock, this is how the sausage is made. And it's not pretty.
It's hot, but it's not pretty.
Okay. Check 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Totally dead.
Totally dead. Something just died. My career. Yep. This is going to cost me the Hall of Fame. But Jerry West was talking about Luka and the number of teams that passed on. No, I don't think it's the headphones, McLovin. No, get out of here. Get out of here. We still got one more hour to go. It's going to be hard to do an interview with Justin Herbert if I can't hear him. You guys, you could tell me his answers when I say, hey, so how was that fourth quarter comeback? And then you just tell me what Justin Herbert has to say. But Jerry West was talking about Luka Doncic and just surprising that, you know, when he started talking about all these other teams that passed on Luka Doncic, it doesn't matter what I'm saying right now.
You sound great.
Thank you. Let me see. This is. I got Seton helping me with.
I feel like I need to get under your desk.
Oh,
whoa, whoa.
Awkward. If you want to, because let me use the headphones here. But I don't know what I turned off here.
And the other ones didn't work either.
The other headphones didn't work either.
Oh, here comes the big German.
Oh, gosh. Now I got the big German is in here. Let's see. Check 1, 2, 3.
So right now, just to describe what's going
this
on,
this is really good radio.
The big
it's
German
damn
is in.
Good TV.
Dan's standing up.
Pretty bad radio right now. Well, maybe we'll have, you know, at the top of the hour, we can get this fixed.
Sure, why not?
But for the most part. By the way, Aaron Boone is staying in the Bronx. He's going to continue to be the Yankees manager. The wait, I guess, is, well, it's still in question right now. Because the owner, Hal Steinbrenner, seems inclined to keep Aaron Boone, sources say. Although I heard Buster Olney talk about if Aaron Boone leaves the Yankees, that the Padres might be in play for Aaron Boone. But you got a couple of guys, Bruce Bochy. You know, does he come out of retirement, if it was retirement, and manage the San Diego Padres? I'd love to take some phone calls here, but I'm not able to.
It seems so haphazard.
We'll try to see if we can come up with that next hour. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, if we're able to take your phone calls coming up in the final hour of the program. By the way, Squid Game, if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix,
that's
pretty entertaining. And I told Paulie about it. Seton's watched a little bit. I think I watched four episodes of Squid Game. They should call it, you know, kind of squeamish games, because when you're watching, it gets a little squeamish in there. But it's a game show of sorts out of South Korea, and it has to do with life and death. You know, when they say, "Oh, it's not life and death. This is life and death with Squid Game." And if you get a question, get an idea of thinking that you might be ready to go into something like that, then Squid Game is interesting. And it starts out slow, I will say that, but then all of a sudden there's a moment where they play red light, green light, and that changes everything in Squid Game. You guys, McLovin, you haven't seen this.
I saw one episode, and I have to be honest, it was too much for me. I couldn't handle it.
Oh, really? Yeah, the first episode, you get halfway through, and then you go, oh, my God. Yeah, Seton.
I was watching the first episode, and I was like, what the heck's everybody so fired up about? And I'm like, I don't get... Oh, okay.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. But this will probably be one of the biggest shows ever on Netflix. That's what they're talking about. And there's already talk about season two of Squid Game.
Squid Game 2?
Yeah, you just have to... You have to be ready for it. Halfway through episode one, it all kind of hits you like, boy, this. And it hits everybody who's literally hits quite a few people in that first episode where you're going, oh, my God. Yeah, Seton.
I'm sorry. This is completely off the Squid Game topic, but people, they're posting the closed captioning of your headphones dying.
Oh, they are.
And there's one point where it's just you sitting at the desk, and the caption is, totally dead. Something just died. My career.
Well, we have about 5 minutes coming up to get this fixed for the final hour of the show. If not, I'm going to bring everybody on my side of the room here so we can hear each other talk. I don't know what we'll do with Justin Herbert, but, you know, we'll get to that coming up. Seton's giving me a countdown here. 8 seconds, 7 seconds, 5 seconds. That's 2 hours in the books. One more to go, I think. One more item as we close out hour two. When you get finished golfing or lifting weights or running around, probably got some body parts that don't recover like they used to. Sore muscles, post-workout discomfort, popping up in new spots all the time. And here, coming to the rescue, Level Select CBD sports creams and roll-ons. If it's good enough for pros like Carson Palmer and Ricky Fowler and Steve Garvey, it's good enough for me. I trust Level Select CBD because it's formulated with doctors. High concentration of CBD allows me to feel it work immediately, usually in less than 60 seconds. And it's made with 0% THC. You can apply the sports creams or the roll-ons. I use the roll-ons. You get that proprietary blend of CBD, and it goes to work. Go to levelselectcbd.com, promo code DP30. That means you get $30 off your entire order today. $30 off, levelselectcbd.com. Make sure you use the promo code DP30. Level Select CBD sports creams and roll-ons. Your body will thank you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.